I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and got into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The shepherds were among the despised group of people in the social scale of society. They were not well educated. They were rugged men who carried the stench of the fields with them and did not live in very nice homes either. As usual, these shepherds were out one night performing their menial labor, keeping watch over their flocks. However, unbeknown to them, something very unusual was about to happen. As we read, an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Notice, it was not the angel's glory, but the glory of the Lord. God's glory refers to the radiance of his manifested presence and power. There was a man in the Bible who walked intimately with God. And one day he said to the Lord, "Lord, show me your glory." Do you remember who that was? Anybody knows that? I'm sure you remember him. His name was Moses. And the Lord responded, "I cannot show you my face, but you will see my back when I pass by." What a powerful experience Moses had. On another occasion, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, his face was so radiant that he had to wear a veil. We read that in Exodus 34:29, because the glory of the Lord was so bright upon him. Beloved, This is the same glory that shone around these shepherds that holy night. These men who were engaged in humble profession and were of ill repute were partakers of the glory of God. Today, December 24th, 2024, or 2023, I'm almost there. I'm already writing 2024. There's still a world in darkness and in desperate need of the glory of God. The church, you and I, because we are the church, not the building, you and I need to carry the presence of God into our community, because his presence is in us. As the Apostle Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. God was present that night among the shepherds. His angel brought them a life-transforming message. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people, not just to a chosen few, but to all people. Today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The long wait was over. The mystery had unfolded. At last, there is a remedy for sin. God had come to dwell among mortals in human form. This good news is characterized by joy. Now remember, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Whether we're feeling good or have enough money in the bank or we got what we wanted to get for Christmas, that's happiness. That's circumstantial. Joy is based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not based on circumstances. We could be suffering and still experiencing joy, because joy comes from God, straight to our hearts. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Habakkuk said. Now suddenly, a heavenly choir appears singing praises to God. Can you imagine? Can you go there for a minute with me? The field became a sanctuary, a holy place of worship. All of heaven was celebrating the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't a cathedral like the ones you probably visited in Europe. It wasn't a temple or a sanctuary. It was a field. In the darkness, as Donna sang a little bit ago, the light of Christ, the glory of God, shone upon them. Despite of their shock and surprise, the shepherds received the message and responded to it. My friends, it's not enough to receive the message Sunday after Sunday, week after week, without responding to it. We need to respond to the Word of God. We need to respond to what we read here. We need to believe it. And then we need to act on it. The shepherds did so. Right away, in verse 15, we read that the shepherds responded immediately. They did not call for a meeting to discuss the possibilities of the Messiah being born in such an obscure place as Bethlehem. Nor did they stop to ask the priest in the temple if he had heard anything about this unusual birth. No, they acted in faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. As soon as the angel left, off they went on a treasure hunt. And we can probably identify with them. Many of us have been on different treasure hunts throughout our lives, seeking after things and or people who would satisfy us. Yet we end up empty and at times addicted to momentary pleasures that could ultimately destroy our lives. Perhaps during this season, the treasure hunt for some people has consisted of going from store to store, trying to find the best sale or the best gift for their spouse or their children or their friend, or maybe even just online, and feeling exhausted at the end of the day because of the treasure hunt. However, these shepherds were not looking for a worldly thrill that would satisfy their fleeting cravings. No. The shepherds were moving ahead amidst the darkness, looking for a manger that cradled the king. They did not stop until they found him and worshiped him. The story doesn't end there, praise God. Once they saw with their very eyes the fulfillment of the prophecy, the mystery began to unfurl. They were filled with exuberant joy. And then they left to tell others what they had experienced. They came in as shepherds, but departed as evangelists. An evangelist is someone who shares the good news of the gospel. Some people would have been tired after this experience and would have said, I need to be alone for a little while. I need to process what just happened. Not these shepherds. They were walking on air without wearing Nike tennis shoes. They were filled with joy, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Beloved, giving praise to the King of Kings is not something that we just do on Sundays. It should be a way of life for us, a daily habit. The psalmist declared, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Praise could be corporal or just an individual experience. It is a time when our spirits connect with God and we offer our love, affection, adoration to the King of the universe. Praise rekindles the flame of the Holy Spirit in our lives. just like the shepherds were filled with boldness and excitement, so can we. I'd like to invite you for the rest of the year, every time you're tempted to complain about the traffic, complain about your spouse, complain about your children, complain about how little you have, complain about not getting the gift you wanted under the tree. I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us and we would turn that complaining into praises. It could be worse, my beloved friends. We could be in Israel or Gaza or Ukraine. It could be worse, trust me. I know perhaps if you had a mother like mine, every time we complained, she would tell us it could be worse. Or should I give you something to really complain about? God bless her soul. Praise always rekindles the flame of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just like the shepherds were filled with boldness and persistence, so will be. There were two men that we read about in the New Testament, Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And they were shackled in jail because they had been preaching the gospel. They were in prison. A nasty place to be. No food, doesn't smell good. Not that I've been incarcerated, but I used to visit there when I used to work at the courthouse. And something happens to you when you walk in and then you hear the doors locking and you have to stay there still before the other doors can be opened so that you can go to the next place. It is not a nice feeling. And you can't help but to wonder, am I going to get out of here? And the smells and the voices. And that's the place where Paul and Silas were. They could have been complaining. They should have been complaining. God, we've been so good. We were doing your work. And here we are in jail. But the Bible says that instead they began to praise God continually. All night. And then at midnight, the shackles fell, the doors were open, and they were able to walk out free. That's the same thing that will happen to us in a spiritual sense. When we get bound or get stuck in the negativity, the inconsistencies of life and the complaints, I invite you to start praising. We cannot do both things at the same time. We can't be negative and praise God at the same time. But once we begin to praise Him, our attitude will change. If we too do this, we will be set free. Even amidst the difficult situation that we might be facing. I'm not saying that we ignore the situation or deny our feelings. No, no, no. But feelings are indicators, not dictators. These shepherds could not keep to themselves the life-changing event they had experienced. They had to share it with others because they sensed the urgency. Why the urgency? Why the persistence? Why the contagious joy? One word, Jesus. God broke the silence. Remember last week we talked about it was a 400-year silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And at last, the Messiah had come. and the world had a Savior. These shepherds, these first visitors to the manger, had a powerful encounter with the child of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, an event that changed and transformed their lives. My friends, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not revealed to the chief priest or the teachers of the law or the emperor. Instead, he revealed it to a couple who could not have children, to a young and humble teenage girl, to a man of few words named Joseph, to a company of poor shepherds. He revealed it to those who lived in obscurity, yet fully trusting the faithfulness of God. Why? Because he's the God of the least of these. Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it for me. Matthew 25:40. These visitations changed the status of the poor, the proud, the hungry, the wealthy, because the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. Everyone of these people who received the gospel, who received the good news of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah in human form, responded with exuberant joy and went to share the good news. How about us? Have we shared the good news lately? As you gather in your homes with friends and family, I invite you to do so. Because the greatest gift anyone can receive during Christmas and beyond is the gift of salvation. The bottom line, my friends, is that our time here is limited. The question is, where am I going to spend eternity? And it doesn't matter if we come to church once in a while, or if we grew up with a godly mama who took us to church. That doesn't take us to heaven. Because you see, salvation is personal. It's between you and Jesus. Have you answered that question? Where am I spending eternity? Everything here, beautiful buildings, beautiful people, has an expiration day. It's all temporal. Our eternal life is just that, eternal. But we make that decision here and now, whether we want to spend eternity in heaven with our Father or in hell with Satan. Because, friends, there is a hell. Whether we believe it or not, that I hear people say, well, I don't believe in that because a loving God couldn't send anybody to hell. I agree. A loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves by the decisions that we make. And I'm not trying to scare anybody off or anything like that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just bringing you the message of good news. We have a place to go to. And it is not hell. It is heaven. But we choose. We choose. God did not create us to be puppets. He gave us something called free will. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that in the fullness of time, you send your only Son, Jesus Christ, into this broken world. And it is still very broken today. Today, we lift to you the people of Israel, Ukraine, and Gaza. Come as the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Jesus, for bringing us the greatest gift there is, salvation. I pray this morning that if there's anyone here or listening or watching us, and they have never said, Jesus, come into my heart. There is room in my heart for you. I pray that today, December 24, 2023, will be the day that they will open their hearts to you. Beloved, if you have never done that, today is the day. Raise your hand just right where you are, and I would like to pray with you. Or if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, today is the day. In the name of Jesus, pray with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. There is room in my heart for you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I receive the new life that you offer me. Father, I pray for a spirit of boldness to come upon us, that we would be like those shepherds, going out in, with a heart full of joy and boldness to share the good news of the babe of Bethlehem. Help us to stop complaining. Forgive us for our complaints. And instead, help us to offer you unlimited praise. I pray for anyone here today suffering with anxiety or depression, looking back, feeling sad, remembering what used to be and is not anymore. I pray, Lord, that you would fill their hearts right now with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.